Yeah. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
What's up, y'all? It's Erin.
And Nicole. This is Dude That's Fucked Up.
Oh, bitch.
The P-cast.
The pod.
The pod. The cast. The apostrophe cast.
What do you like? The pod or the cast or the podcast or the P-cast or the PC? I don't fucking know.
The PC?
I don't know. Whatever. Who cares?
Whatever. We don't care. We're just shortening stuff. I'm a white lady, so... You know, so you only use the ends of every word? Or like totes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It's like, that's like the most white lady thing.
It truly is.
Yeah. Totes.
Oh, totes. Soups.
Yeah. Oh, it's soups white.
Yeah. You know what?
What?
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yeah? Hanging in there?
Mm-hmm.
Hope everybody's week is going good. We got a fun little episode for you.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna be real fun. Before we get to that, any business?
No biz.
Got a few shirts left. Very few.
Yeah. So few.
Some are sold out.
Yeah. We didn't, we should say that if you're a patron, you're already aware that we like paused for the month of December because things were just so busy and it was the holidays and
we couldn't get it together.
We tried. Just like, it was just a lot and we were like, you know what, let's just enjoy this time.
Yeah,
like we just
didn't want to,
we just didn't want to rush it.
No stress, no rush.
Yeah. And also our content's very premium, so we didn't want to bring it down a notch.
No. You're welcome for the premium content.
We're like, this, if we do this, it won't live up to our standards. Yeah. So let's just like not even fuck with it.
No.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it chill.
Yeah.
But
it'll be back January.
Yeah. In January, we're going to have all kinds of fun stuff for you. So.
Oh my God.
If you're a patron, get ready for that.
Send your cues.
If you're not, and you're curious.
Yeah.
Hop in there.
If you're patron curious, you're Patreon curious, you can check it out. There's some stuff on there. Like if you want to, if you're considering becoming a patron, there's some stuff. So you could check out the types of content we make because we've made some of it like
accessible
for everyone.
So you could get a little
taste.
It's sampling. patreon.com/DTFU podcast.
Oh my God. We're fucking Costco and this is a sample station. All right. Oh, and it's, God. You know what? There's not a fucking huge crowd of children around it. You're welcome.
Oh, my God. I love Costco. Mm. You know how I feel about the pizza. Okay, well, that's the biz.
Mm-hmm.
Anything fucked up for you this week?
I'm hungover right now. But in other news, I don't have anything fucked up, but I do have a wild thing.
Oh, tell me.
Oh, wild my God. Shit. Everyone needs to hear this.
Wild thing. Boom, 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 boom. I don't know. Shut up. Okay. I will. No problem. I'll shut up. Thank you.
You know what? We're fucking 2020 Tone Loke. It's the year of Tone Loke. Is he alive still?
Yeah.
Oh, good. He should make a comeback. This is his year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd love to see it. His voice is dreamy.
You'd love to see it.
I'd love to see it and hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I kind of sound like Tone Loke right now.
Yeah, yeah. I do, too. I have my hungover voice. I went into a commercial audition this morning, and they're like, okay, like, you have to, like, slate your name. Like, I'm Nicole Mackey. And I was like, I'm Nicole Mackey. And it was, I was, like, stuffy, too. So I think I said Backy. And I was like, this is a fucking mess.
I'm Nicole Mackey.
Put me in your commercial. I was like, put me in your commercial.
Oh, gosh. What is this for? Some sexy lady stuff?
I have my sexy voice. Oh, God.
Well, tell me the wild thing.
Oh, the wild thing is, you already know it. I went to Erin's house to pick her up on Friday. Erin came with me to an open mic, and then we went, Christine from And That's Why We Drink is, a friend of mine, and we finally had the opportunity to, like, hang out, and her and Erin were able to meet, and then we were able to meet M, too, because we hadn't met him yet, and it was, like, so much fun. We had so much fun. It was Christine's husband's birthday.
It was a wonderful time.
Oh my God, we met Allison. We met so, I already know Christine's brother, Alex. They do Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet together, a different podcast from And That's Why We Drink. If you haven't checked it out, it's so fun.
It was just so much fun.
Yeah.
Everybody that we hung out with at the party was so wonderful. I mean, Em and Christine, obviously.
Oh my God, duh.
Fantastic.
Just but also so you sweet. Met so many of my like sketch and improv yes. and like comedy friends, my stand-up friends. Like so
because
many
because that's how you and Christine met yeah, yeah, is through yeah. improv class mm-hmm. yeah mm-hmm.
yeah so and it was like kind of a reunion. I hadn't seen a lot of these people, especially like together, in a really long time. So
even you were like the belle of the ball, like you were
excuse me
flitting around no, like I just a social knew. Butterfly I just and knew. Everybody was like, Nicole, over here, come here, oh Nicole, come tell that story over here. Truly, it was
no
very cool.
That's okay, that's really cute, but Aaron's being nice. What it really was like me and people screaming over the table to try and talk to each other because we were like in different corners of the room about a clowning class we had taken. Oh, and then shit heated up. Anyway, inside baseball, no one gives a shit. It was very fun, and just shout out to Christine and Em,
yes.
Because we got to hear like stories from the road, which you guys don't get to hear because it was like top secret, and it was so fun and scary. And maybe they talk about it on the podcast. I have to catch up, but it was just very fun.
So much fun.
Anyway, I go to Aaron's house to pick her up, and I like knock on the door, and I go hello, and I hear baby Jack, and I go oh baby Jack, and he goes Dasha, and I was like.
Oh my God, he is talking so much, and he literally said, "Don't share."
Like he was like, "Don't share, don't share, don't share." Like he, oh, I died. My heart exploded. It grew 1,000 sizes. I was like, "Oh my God!" It was so cute.
Oh,
and just like I was like, "I love him so much," and this is like such a fun thing. I came home. Pete was like already asleep that night, but the next morning I was like, "Oh my God, you have to hear this. Jack called me Don't Share, and it's like real." And he like knows my voice. He didn't even see me yet.
No, he knows your voice.
Yeah. And then I was like, "Oh my God!" And I wanted to hug him, and he was like, "No." And I was like, "Okay."
He's like, "That's fair
he's
enough."
Like, yeah. He's like, "You know, it's fine that you. It's fine that you're here, and I'm excited, but we're not there yet." And I was like, understood.
He doesn't even like hugging me. Like, he's not a cuddly guy.
Oh, okay.
And then I find out that DJ was never a cuddly guy.
Oh, so it's like hereditary.
Yeah, it's hereditary. I like told his mom that. She's like, yeah, that's DJ's fault. He's not. He was never a snuggly little baby.
That's his snuggleless genes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rude.
Rude. It's fine. No,
it's fine.
He, but it was so cute. And mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, what a little treat. That was. So not fucked up, just wild.
It
blew my mind is what it did.
Dude, he says.
It fucked me up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it freaks you out a little bit because, like, I can't say any. I mean, he says fuck, shit, all the words all the time. He will literally say, he'll repeat anything you say. Like,
yeah.
he'll try to say a word. Like, he could say all kinds of shit. Like,
oh my God.
Stuff that I don't even know he picks up in conversation.
Yeah.
Like, the craziest thing, I mean, he's like what, 17 months now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's a year and a half old.
Yeah.
And he walked.
I'm like, by. Yeah, like, well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I monitor I think, his yeah. age. Yeah. Well, he walked by the washing machine and he just goes, washing machine.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Clear as a bell. And it freaked me out. And like my mother in law and my sister in law heard it and they were just yeah. like, what the fuck? It's weird, man.
Oh, my
they
God.
Just start. They just start saying shit. And he's like a little. Computer.
Yeah. And he got so much smarter than you even realize. So in like secret.
Yeah, you can tell like when his head grows overnight. It's just like suddenly you're like, your head is bigger than your like way bigger than your body was. Like it's I can tell from yesterday.
Yeah.
Your head is like an orange on a toothpick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More so than yesterday. I don't know.
Yeah, his head is bigger than his body. It's a fucking John Mayer song. We all know. We know what that's about. It's about babies growing in their IQs and their brains.
I mean, I don't know. Who's to say?
No, we don't know. I don't think he's writing songs about babies.
Well, so that's real nice and all that.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
real cute, but let me tell you something. If you look in my face right now,
is this your fucked up thing?
This is my fucked up thing. I have a scratch here.
I see the scratch.
I have a bump under my eye.
Uh-huh, I see the bump.
So the scratch is from his toenail.
Ew! What was his foot in your face?
Well, you know, I was like, you know,
oh,
like
you're
wrestling
just like,
with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, play.
And he just like went slice my cheek with his toenail.
Gross.
Yeah, sick. And then this right here, this bump under my eye, he was playing with a like toy screwdriver.
Oh my God.
Tonight. And he like comes running at me with it and he trips and it literally missed my eyeball, my eyeball.
Yeah.
By a centimeter. Yeah. And stabbed underneath like on my cheekbone.
Oh,
right here.
Oh my God.
Like I felt it like graze like my eyelash.
It like went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I almost lost an eye tonight is what I'm trying to say.
Fucking Savannah Guthrie just almost lost an eye. Do you know her? The host of the Today Show?
Yeah.
Her kid threw a toy fire truck at her and it cut her fucking retina. It came off of her eye. She lost vision. It was, excuse me. It was like a whole big thing. And she's like having to get her vision back and had to have surgery and stuff. So you need to be careful.
Dude, I'm not letting him play with any goddamn shit anymore.
You might need to wear
I have
fake glasses.
We have
goggles.
Goggles, yeah, like you know that you would wear in like science class and shit for when DJ cuts the grass.
Yeah.
Or like does the weed whacker because shit flies everywhere.
Yeah. Safety goggles.
Safety goggles.
From like Home Depot.
Yeah, I have some, so I'm gonna just start wearing those when I play with them.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. A football helmet.
Yeah.
Safety goggles.
Like a sumo suit. Yeah. Where it's like full of air. Just like you just need a barrier.
I won't babyproof the house, but I'll babyproof myself.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, he's lucky he didn't fall on it and it didn't like stab his face. You know what I mean?
I know.
Fucking maybe retire that tool belt you gave him to.
Well, it was like toys
at grandma's house.
Yeah. So there was all kinds of shit.
They're for all ages.
All ages.
Not Jack's age though. Oh my God.
It was a near miss, but
I'm glad your eye's okay.
Both balls are intact.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Almost lost an eye, but we're all good.
We good.
So should we start this episode?
Yeah, I have a joke for you.
Okay.
And then you're going to hate it.
Okay.
So, but it'll be our segue into today's topic.
Tight.
Great. What are you eating under there?
Under where?
Gross. That's so gross. You're eating underwear. Ew! Ew! What are you eating? You're eating underwear. Pete told me that earlier and I was like, I hate it.
Yeah, it's like a super child joke.
Also, I was really hungover and I was eating smart food popcorn and I just like
looked. Oh, you were actually eating something and goes, what are you eating underwear?
Yeah, and I was like, and I just look at him and I was like, what do you mean? Underwear? Like I was just like, I'm like eating it so out in plain sight. Like, I'm not secretly eating it under the table or, like, under a blanket.
Like, what are you trying to say, motherfucker?
Yeah. Like, it's fucking popcorn. It says it on the bag, you idiot. He's like, no, that's not how you do it. No. No, I was cool. I was nice about it. The tone of my response was not nice, but I, like, wasn't a dick fully. Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway.
Well, you're hungover, so pass, I guess.
Thanks. Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm pretty hungover.
So underwear is the topic.
So underwear is
what we're trying to say.
I've also been drinking again.
Oh man.
Ricky Gervais was drinking a beer on the Golden Globes while I was doing these notes and I was like, that looks good. And Pete's like, you want a beer? I was like, I do.
As a matter of fact, I do.
As a matter of fact, can you go to the liquor store? Anyway, great. So, swimsuits. I mean,
Underwear. We've done an episode on swimsuits.
Yeah. I thought this is going to be kind of close. It's not.
No.
I feel like we focus more on undergarments in general. So, and there's like so many women's undergarments from the beginning of time till now.
Oh my God.
To talk about. We're not even going to cover them all. Like there's not enough time in the day.
Yeah. It the coverage isn't there.
Huh? That's a joke.
Sort of.
That's a pun. That's a fun thing.
Yeah.
So we're gonna get into this. I do want to call out first before we get started. Aaron started our notes document with the word panties in the title, and I was like, "Bitch, please! Like, we cannot use that word, right?"
It's the worst word.
I don't have a problem with moist. Same problem other people have, but I don't like panties.
Panties makes me extremely uncomfortable. This is among my top. Like worst words.
Yeah.
Other words include hubby and horny. Those two words, I can't. I never say them until now.
I don't, where did horny come from? It's like, because a dick is like a horn.
I'm horny. Like, nobody wants to hear that.
Unless you're, like, right about to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm so horny. Oh.
Okay. Stop making that face. It's more upsetting than the word.
Because that's what the word sounds like. The face I'm making, nobody could see, but
it's like, it's just like, you can tell by
it's like
how you're
frowny and weird. And
yeah.
It's
and like tight. And like, yeah.
And yeah, and hubby's the other one. I will never call DJ my hubby.
Yeah. So. That's a very like white lady word too.
It's just not a good one.
Yeah.
His name's DJ and we are married. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
And like technically he's your husband, but also he's just DJ, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He's just this guy that I married. Yeah. Calm down.
Calm down.
I've definitely talked about it before, so here it is again.
Well, in case anyone's just joining us.
In case
us.
You forgot.
Okay, so I guess we should talk about, like, when did people start wearing underwear, which was a fucking long-ass time ago.
Like, real long time ago. I mean, even before ancient Egyptians.
Yeah.
That's, like, probably the most, like, concrete evidence of people wearing underwear, but they're, I think, even... like prehistoric times, like people were wearing some chonies.
Well, and like ancient Egypt most resembles probably how we think of underwear now, like brief type underwears. But before that, it was like loincloths and shit.
Yeah.
But which is like, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't think of a loincloth as underwear. It's like its own thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Loincloths are, I mean, yeah. They're, people just wear that just by itself, but could be worn under other garments.
Yeah.
A loincloth usually is like a single strip of fabric, like wrapped around your waist and then wrapped around your genitals.
Yeah.
And then wrapped around your waist again, basically.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And that was to hold, in ancient Egypt, that was to like...
hold your junk in.
Hold your onions in.
Oh, your...
your birth control onions.
Your onions.
Your IU dunions.
We are not fucking in that. I got my onion in.
Or you hold it, do you hold it in all day? And then at night, you take the underwear off, the onion comes out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm horny. And then it's
I'm horny. I took my onion out.
Onion's out. Time to fuck. Oh,
see our episode about... ancient forms of birth control.
Oh my god.
If you don't know what the fuck we're talking about.
Also, if it wasn't to hold the onion in, because I think they actually just wore the onion during actual intercourse.
Woof. I don't know.
It was to hold the smell of like the post-sex onion vag.
Oof.
Smell. What? It was like to like hold that in. So.
Dear god.
Or something. Actually, no, none of this is true, but it's very fun.
Yeah, it's fun to think about, isn't it? Yeah. Aren't you so glad you're thinking about this right now?
My imagination's soaring. It's like reading Rainbow.
I can smell everything. Oh, Christ.
Just take an onion. Put it in your badge. We're gonna fuck now.
God damn it.
Okay, no. Women started wearing underwear, well, or like undergarments.
And we should mention we're like not gonna talk that much about dudes' underwear.
No, we don't give a shit.
I don't.
This is a lady podcast.
I don't care what the fuck they're wearing. Get out of here. You know what, dudes? You know, dudes were not wearing underwear. They were like, they had long ass shirts, like tunics, and they tucked them in. I'm going to tell you right now what men were wearing for like up until like the late 1800s. They had their long ass, long shirts,
yeah,
their tunics, and yeah, they'd tuck them into their pants, yeah, and they'd wrap it around their vag,
their taint.
They'd like stick it down into their pants, come up around the butt. That's how, that was their chonies.
The fucking butt flaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, just a long-ass shirt that they tuck their scrot into.
Oh, probably to, like, protect them from their, like, itchy-ass clothes, which we'll get to.
Yeah, oh, well.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
And then, like, well, they had, like, boxer briefs and shit, so.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Also, this is a fucking herstory of underwear, all right? So, everybody, get on board.
Yeah.
And it's way more fun because it's way more varied. Women's history of underwear for women, way more varied.
There was so much shit happening.
So much going on. And we're going to talk about it now.
Yeah.
So women started wearing undergarments to, like, enhance their shape, essentially. Yeah. Like, this is why this all started. And to this day, we wear them to enhance our shape. There's no reason we have to wear a fucking bra or chonies, dude.
Well, some people need bras for their huge titties to keep them supported. I am not one of those people.
But do you need this? Like, your body is, like, meant... Like, they're meant to hang, right? Like, we wear them because it's, like, socially acceptable. Like, if women are out there with their big titties and no bra on, people are, like, throw a fit.
Yeah, I mean...
But it's, like, who gives... I mean...
Well, if you want to be active, if you want to, like, do things, you
need... Okay, well, that's fair. Because that hurts. Yeah, you need
a sports bra. Also, like, I don't want to wear jeans with no underwear. I don't want that, like, ridge of denim in my...
The zipper.
Yeah, I don't want that in my coot.
Yeah, fair. I know. Well, I like wearing underwear. I'm just saying. We don't have to. You know what I mean? There's no reason we, like, fully need to. And also, had we not been wearing underwear this whole time, maybe they would have figured out to, like,
how to make in underwear better.
And jeans. Yeah. So that it would have, like, a protective layer in the jeans versus, like, having to wear underwear separate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, one of the main reasons women even started wearing underwear was to protect their clothing. Like, even people...
From the onion smell.
From, you know, from
the period,
from their period, vaginal discharge, whatever. So
yeah,
for a while, women didn't wear any underwear. There was no reason for it.
Yeah.
Until different styles of clothing and body enhancements made it sort of necessary.
Yeah.
And different materials of clothing.
Mm. Yeah. True.
Also to keep warm.
True. Yeah. You need layers.
Yeah. So,
Let's start with, like, okay, so we're going to go, like, underwear through the ages.
Yes.
We'll start with ancient Egypt because they did kind of wear loincloths, which now I'm thinking it's to air out the onion smell. It's like you don't want to trap it in. You air it out.
Yeah.
But we don't know. They could have tied it between their butt cheeks or whatever. We don't, we don't know. there's not a lot of evidence of, like, those things didn't survive the test of time. You know what I mean? Like... There's not
a mummified crotch onion. Some, like, very serious archaeologist, Egyptologist is, like, looking at a mummy and they're like, I don't know what this fucking onion's for, though.
Oh, my God.
And then we can be like, sir, yes, we're experts on crotchal onions. Let me just explain to you.
I feel like a crotch onion is, like, the definition of a crotch onion is like a clitorally stimulated orgasm so good you cry.
Oh! Bitch, come on.
All right. Okay. Where do we start? All right. So there wasn't, like, a ton of evidence there's not a ton left over from ancient Egypt. And I think what happened is the first evidence of women's undergarments, as we sort of know them now, I guess, is said to have come from the Minoan civilization, which is, like, ancient Greece.
Yes.
And this is a civilization on the island of Crete. And according to ancientorigins.net, so you know it's good. this is where the good information is. You know what I mean? That the Minoan women, like, in the art from, like, that time, women are depicted as wearing a band of cloth to support their breasts. And that article of clothing is said to be called
apodesmos.
Apodesmos, yeah, that sounds Greek.
Yeah.
It is. Which was typically a woolen undergarment that bore a basic resemblance to the design of modern bras. It was kind of like...
A bandeau.
Yeah, like a bandeau. Oh. It's, like, wrapped in front of the chest and then fastened with pins in the back. And it's not, like, clear why they wore this. And the practice was considered somewhat odd, as the rest of the Greek civilization at that time didn't wear undergarments.
Huh.
So maybe they just didn't want their, like, titty sunburn or whatever. Like, we don't really know, but, like, they started wearing it.
I think they were, like, sports bras. Like,
yeah.
Maybe, like, the women like to work out in Crete.
Maybe, like, yeah, like whatever they were doing, their boobs were getting in the way. So they're like, let's put, you know, it's like they're basket weaving and they kept like accidentally weaving a titty into the basket.
the like reed would come out and like slap their titty. They're like, I need to tie these bitches back. Yeah. I don't know what else to do
this
here.
This is uncomfortable. Honestly, maybe like they were all child rearing and they were sick of their kids just walking over and grabbing their tit for food. And they're like, fuck off. Let me put these are going under wraps and I will tell you when it's time to eat.
You know
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that could have been it.
Yeah.
And these were like, so these were made out of wool, which is like.
Don't like that.
No. And honestly, like. It's very upsetting to me. I can barely wear a wool sweater with a t-shirt under it. I can't wear one with nothing under. I get so hivey.
I wonder, like, if wool then was made differently. Like, if, you know how there's, like, lanolin in wool?
Oh, and it
and
was,
if
like.
Maybe it was, like, a finer weave or something. Yeah. I don't fucking know.
Also, I want to give a shout out to my friend Katie, who just did this whole, she's an actor, and she just did this whole series of commercials with the Angelica Houston on, like, wool care, or like it's like the Society of Wool or whatever. It's like
how there's the cotton campaign. There's a wool campaign.
There's a wool campaign. It's like how to care for your wool and like all this stuff. And
interesting,
Angelica Houston was in it, and she got to work with her, and I was like so proud.
Oh my god, big anyway. Wool pulling out the big guns with the Angelica Houston.
Yeah. So and she said she was like so nice and lovely and like very sweet.
I love her.
Yeah. Anyway. This was similar to, like, the Greek style was similar to ancient Romans, who wore, like, a bandeau top and brief bottoms. But that started to become for aesthetic reasons, and we, like, know that now based on history, I guess. And that's because they liked more of, like, a flattened, more, like, masculine chest.
Uh-huh.
And they liked to accentuate the hips. So, like, I guess the look of the briefs accentuated the hips. So
okay.
That's what they liked.
Okay. I like it.
I like it. We like it.
I like it. I think it's coming back.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Body positivity. You can look however you want.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
And then in the Middle Ages, women moved into like more restrictive. They were corset-like garments. They weren't corsets like how we know of them now from like the Victorian era and things we're going to talk about.
Yeah. But they were like tightening like the bodice corset situation. Yeah. It was just like, but there was like, it was like creating a shape underneath the garments.
Yeah. And
or
even
the garments
over,
were, yeah.
It was
over.
Like part of the clothes.
Yeah.
And so the corset like was like in the Middle Ages, it was more over wool hosiery.
Oof.
Which it's like, come like. Again, like you said, maybe it was just like a different wool and it wasn't super itchy. But also maybe that's all they had. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know, yeah.
But it seems unfortunate and I'm glad I didn't live during that time where I was wearing a fucking corset over wool hosiery because that sounds like just so much sweat in my asshole.
A pool of sweat in your butthole, just like.
But wool wicks it away naturally. That's the thing. That's the thing.
Everybody stink, okay? That's what you need to understand.
But wool is naturally a wicking. It pulls moisture away from. So actually, maybe we should wear wool underwear, especially if we like enter into menopause and shit. Because like we're sweating all the time.
Let's see what Miss Angelica Houston has to say about
call
it.
Call her up. Yeah. I'll get Katie on the line. Yeah. She'll get Miss Houston on the line. We'll talk to her about it. Okay. Good idea.
It sounds dumb.
Yeah, it was dumb. Everyone was stupid.
Yeah, okay.
And then at some point.
What?
It's just like, and then at some point, this isn't a history podcast.
At some point,
things changed. No, it was like going into like the 1300s and shit. Moving like from the Middle Ages into the Renaissance and all that. Undergarments like did get a little more streamlined.
Yeah, because they needed to fit under things better.
They started to become like truly undergarments where they were like under the clothes instead of maybe a part of
like
them
a
or
full
over.
Ass dress underneath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's truly what underwear was for women for a very long time.
Yeah.
Was you basically had like a cotton linen or like wool.
Yeah.
Like underdress
and shit.
Like, yeah. That you wore under your dress. And that was around for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they Yeah, through the 1300s, there was like a move towards pushing up your titties.
Yeah.
Like not so shapeless. A fuller skirt to emphasize the waist a little bit more. And then women, like we said, were starting to move towards like a more corseted bodice.
Yeah, this was like, this was really like when corsets as we know them emerged and like would continue for so long. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about like the evolution of that essentially because it was such a big fucking nightmare for women for centuries.
Literal centuries.
Hundreds of years. Like
hundreds and hundreds
several
of years.
Hundreds of years. Like the 1300s initially very fashion-y because it was like fully to change how a woman's body looked. That continued into the 1500s. And it like, this is where the corset got even more specific, where it like was the full, okay, we're going to push up your boobs. We're going to really pull in your waist. And then there was like, I don't know, like flaps added to the hips. So it like squared off the hips.
Yeah. So like when you put a dress or a skirt on, it like made your hips look like really flared out.
Yeah. Like really, really wide.
Like exaggerated.
Super exaggerated. So that's like, that was when like the tiny waist, wide hips, pushed up, like bigger, more prominent boobs, like started to come into play.
Like a an hourglass figure in a very accentuated way. One of the first women to do this, like to make it popular, it was Catherine of Aragon.
Mm.
This is the farthingale.
Yeah.
Is the name of this hip accentuating thing.
Yeah.
A very early version of like a, what we'll talk about all like the hoop skirts and all that later.
Yeah.
But a very early version where it accentuated the hips.
Yeah.
She like, it's Spanish and it was a bastardization of the original name of it, which I can't remember, but it accentuated the hips and she had like this tiny waist and people were like, whoa, okay, I like that. And then it really morphed into some crazy shit after that.
Oh my God. Or she was like, this is how everyone needs to look. I'm royalty.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, fuck.
But she was like, but Catherine was very, I mean, she was like Catholic and conservative, but like also kind of like a bad bitch. So,
oh my God.
I don't know.
Oh my God. The farthingale was like the tiny glasses of. Well, and then, like, for the next few centuries, the corset just started to become, like, more longer-waisted and more dramatic. Mm-hmm. So, like, the one, it started off as, like, you know, smaller pieces and, like, it didn't fully maybe go up your full back. Or, what you know, like, it wasn't as – it was more belty.
It
like,
wasn't as involved as when you envision a corset now. It's, like, the whole titties are up.
Yeah.
It's, like, the underwire under – and like you have panels that go down the sides and in the front and then you have the lacing in the back. It wasn't that intense.
But it was it was like moving in that direction over all this time.
Yeah.
And like it just started becoming more and more of a dramatic piece of like underwear.
Yeah. Mm. More elaborate over time. But underneath all the corsets and all the other the things, there was people were actually wearing other undergarments.
Yeah.
Not so much bras as like a, I don't know, that was part of whatever top part they were wearing. Like that was, or like part of the like bodice or part of the corset.
Yeah, the things underneath weren't like to shape, that's why the corset was there. So they didn't need like what we think of as a bra today.
Yeah.
Because they didn't need the shape of it. It was like what they wore underneath was more like flowy, right?
Yeah. So underneath all the petticoats and all that, women were still wearing like loose fitting underdresses or shimmies. How do you say that?
Chemises.
Yeah, like whatever.
Yeah.
Just like long.
Like a chemise. It's like a silky thin piece of like dress thing.
And nothing was typically worn like close fitting to your crotch yet.
Oh, okay.
For a very long time, because with all the dresses and the fashions of the time over the centuries, it was all a ton of fabric and skirts and whatever.
Layers.
So if you had to take a piss or a shit, like what do you you know, try to pull down some chonies? No.
No.
You just don't wear anything under that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You let it all hang out.
Yeah.
So, for the most part.
Makes it easier to just put your dress fully over the bucket.
Yeah.
And then just like.
And just squat.
You can hear if it's hitting the bucket. You know what I mean? You don't even have to look.
Yeah.
Because it's metal. It just goes. You know, like the sound of water in a pail. You're like, oh, good. It's good. Happening. And if you don't hear that, you got to just keep moving. Or you just got to kind of sway your hips like you're hula hooping until you find it. You know, but you don't have to look. It's great.
Yeah. yeah. So how the fuck are you supposed to get all that fabric out of the way?
Yeah.
So they just did not.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But then, and also, like, people did start wearing underwear, which they called drawers for a long time because you were able to draw them down. So that's why they're called drawers.
Cute.
But people just thought it was not.
Hashtag premium content.
Did you know? Well, people also thought it was like unsanitary to like have anything close to your crotch like that. They were like, you have to let it air out. Why would you restrict your cooter?
Oh.
Which.
True.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
In fact, in 1757, a German doctor said women shouldn't wear pants or closed underwear because her, quote, her genitals need air to allow moisture to evaporate, which could otherwise cause them to decay, in German, vermurden.
Vermurden.
And, quote, stink. Okay. That's, like, how you get a yeast infection is by wearing, like, two, like, not good of breathable chonies. Yeah. Like,
oh, my God, a yeast infection or just, like, a rash or, like, I mean, like.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I like shower at night, I'll lay on my bed with no underwear on for a little bit and let everything air out so that when I put my underwear on, it's all dry.
Yeah.
You don't want that moisture in there.
No, no.
You want it dried out.
That sounds real nice. I might take a shower and just like starfish on the bed
tonight. It's so nice. And then also because like your parts are wet and then like there's like cool air. You know, like we have like a ceiling fan or whatever and then it like there's like cool air comes in and like this is what I think menopause will be like. But like – it's like I'm going to need to just be naked all the time with a fan blowing at my crotch.
Mm.
Luckily, that's a far ways off. Mm. Knock on wood.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, we don't know. 20. I'm aging backwards, so.
Fair. You are Benjamin Buttoning. and then he said, this German doctor said that women could wear them in cold weather and also to protect against insects, which could fly up your crotch at any moment if you're out in nature.
Oh, my God. Just like a fucking scorpion gets trapped in all your dresses or something. It's like makes its way to your cooter.
Oh, God.
That's upsetting.
Or a bee in your not bonnet. In your crotch bonnet.
Yeah, a bee in your crotch bonnet, a.k.a. your dress. Yeah.
So thanks for that, German doctor guy.
Yeah, all right, cool.
And then during the Regency era, so like the
it's like 1700s,
late 1700s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The women started wearing lower undergarments, which
pantaloons.
Yeah, and this to me more closely resembles a crotchless board short.
Crotchless Quicksilvers.
Yeah. It's like if you borrowed your boyfriend or your husband's Hurley board shorts and cut the whole crotch out of it, that's like what women were wearing.
Those billow buttless bongs.
Like they just went around your waist and down your legs and then the whole middle was like open.
The taint.
Yeah.
Wait, oh, that's cool.
But like it was like a drop crotch kind of. It was like kind of looser around the crotch, which that sounds real nice.
So actually, it's just kind of open in the middle.
Yeah.
Like flowy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't connect.
Yeah.
So it's just like flaps of fabric covering your flaps.
They were literally called leg clothes.
Oh.
So like
they were clothes for your legs. Yeah. AKA pants.
Yeah. But like not for your hoo-ha.
Yeah.
So from the 1820s onwards, drawers, which you know.
Yeah.
They were made of more feminine cotton, fabric-y, softer things. Because if they're going to be close to your choach, then it should be soft.
Oh, yeah.
Knickers were quite baggy, and that accommodated the split through the crotch. Mm-hmm. So, and also despite the opening, it offered some modesty if like something happened, like if you're riding a horse and your skirt flew up or something,
you like passed out, you like fainted on the fainting couch and like your dress goes over your head, it's like there's still a little flap of fabric to cover your hoo-ha.
Yeah. In her book, Knickers, An Intimate Appraisal, Rosemary Hawthorne records that before 1789 and the French Revolution, long skirts, a petticoat or two, a corset, and a linen chemise were all the underwear a woman thought desirable or necessary.
Oh, that's all?
That's it? Oh,
there's like seven things on this fucking list.
I know. It's like, I don't even remember the first thing that you said. Rosemary.
Oh, my God.
And then towards the end of the 18th century is when they started having lighter fabrics.
Oh, okay.
And silks and whatnot. But, of course, that was like for rich people.
Right,
like,
right.
Mean, in the meantime, like poor people were like, I'm still not able to afford underwear. So right. Fuck you.
So, yeah. So there's just dust and bugs up here from being on these streets.
Yeah.
With no underwear. Yeah.
But people in, like, colder climates were more...
Had to have them.
Yeah, they were more likely to wear undergarments.
But they had one pair, and that probably got real salty real quick, you know what I mean?
And then, like, also the heavier... They wore heavier petticoats so that they didn't, like, billow up in the wind or whatever.
Oh, okay.
God,
what a nightmare.
And I know that all... Yeah, it sounds terrible, but, yeah, they had to keep in mind they still... This was, like, what they had to do. Like, this is just the style. And, you know, being modest was important. So, but just remember, they also still had to piss.
Right.
And shit. So, there was, I was digging into this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this fucking sucks. Like, what do you do? And there was this museum that figured out that women used to use these ceramic vessels, which resembled gravy boats. they'd use that as sort of a porta potty.
Especially if they have diarrhea, it's a gravy boat for sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Exactly.
It's a gravy train.
They didn't have to, so they like bring it with them or like have it in the house or something.
Yeah.
So they didn't, they just like keep it under there. I don't know how they kept it, but.
It's probably just hanging off a rope under one of their, like, coats.
Yeah, you know, like, nobody knows what's going on under there. There's so much, you know.
You can have a full fucking picnic lunch under there and no one knows.
Dude, seriously. So they would use it as, like, a little porta potty and they didn't have to move all the aside. They just, like, walk around. It was like, have you seen those, like, DJ calls them sheenesses?
Yeah.
The, like, go girl.
Yeah.
Like, the funnel that you stick on your crotch and you, like, piss.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that.
Oh.
I know. And some people, this expert at this museum was saying that she thinks that some other museums that have come into possession of these little thingies, which are actually called bordeloos, they didn't realize what they were and have put them on display with like antique china, thinking it was the actual gravy boat.
It's which a I find fucking
so funny.
It's a piss boat.
Yeah. It's a shit boat.
Next to like a dish.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This makes me think like, just because I was just watching the Golden Globes before you got here, for like period movies where it's like Victorian and like actual actors and actresses have to wear like full.
The period costume. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they don't wear regular underwear? Like, underneath, are they wearing, like, regular underwear? Or are they, like, they probably can't wear underwear because it's the same. They have the same problem. If they have to pee or whatever, they yell cut, and they're like, I gotta pee. You can't just take them out of the whole costume. It'll take 40 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I'm sure there's, like, I don't know. There's probably tons of stories about it. I mean, I remember just being in my fucking wedding dress. Like, there was boning on the side.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a pretty simple dress.
It wasn't like – you didn't have like a huge – yours was like form-fitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was form-fitting, but it was heavy material.
Yeah. It's like thick.
And so – and I was able to like go to the bathroom by myself. Like a lot of women like cannot go to the bathroom by themselves or like
– or because like they have so much skirt. Don't drink anything.
Yeah. But I remember like I tested it out before I went,
smart.
You know, and did – so – I could hike it up fine,
yeah.
But like it was the act of like twisting and trying
to wipe
that the boning dug into my skin really hard.
Oh
and
my
it
God.
Was painful.
You had to front wipe.
No, I mean, yeah,
like,
I did.
Sometimes I front wipe,
but it was hard.
Well, sometimes I front wipe if I'm like wearing a coat or like too much stuff, a backpack or something, yeah. but I don't wipe back to front.
No, no, no.
I like
right.
push back.
Push back.
Yeah, and then you just drop it. It's well, like, it's like, it's like little like, what are those? Like, not a tornado, a torpedo. It's like you torpedo back with the toilet paper. You go like
through your.
And, yeah, you go like, and you like push, you wipe back real quick and then you let go. It's like, you just like make the toilet paper into like a thick bullet and then you torpedo it back towards your butthole and then it wipes, it absorbs all the piss.
I mean, I still like tried to wipe like normal and I was like, I'm stabbing myself. Ow, ow, ow. Yeah. I didn't think different.
Ow, 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 not worth it. Torpedo wipe.
But I peed like maybe 3 times during my wedding. So whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't need no help.
No.
I just stabbed my side fat.
Yeah.
With the boning in my dress.
You just peed in the shower.
Yeah, it's fine.
Over the drain.
Oh, I should have done that.
Oh my God.
So yeah, anyway. So there were some crazy ass trends that came out, not just corsets, but
like the like petticoats and the underdresses, like the farthingales.
Yeah, like the body shapewear of the day.
Yeah, yeah,
was
yeah.
To make, and this is, like we said, this lasted for centuries where tiny waist and big hips were just always the jam.
Yep.
Still are.
Yeah, it's still like a feminine, it's still like the female, like the quote unquote ideal female form or whatever.
Yeah.
36, 24, 36. What a win in hand. You know, she has a brick house.
Yeah. Right. So I need to talk about this real quick.
I can't wait.
So the massive skirts became a huge thing. So we talked about the farthingales.
Yeah.
And those are popular through like the 16th, 17th century. But then panniers came out in the 18th century, which were like the bigger, badder, wider hip cage situations. Literally just like a cage sitting out on the sides. And it was like
it's not even fully
square.
Round. Yeah, it's just on the sides.
It was like almost square. It's like
So you couldn't go through a door forward, but you'd have to go sideways and sidle through.
Yeah, basically these things were so wide, sometimes up to 7 feet wide.
Oh my God.
Which made it impossible for, I mean, this was like fancy.
Right. Like
fancy wear.
Royalty people.
Yeah. And for like special occasions. Yeah. Like people wear these usually. But it made it impossible for women at fancy parties to walk through doors or down hallways or to sit in a fucking chair. Like, they literally had to design furniture differently when these became popular.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you sat, you couldn't sit in a normal chair.
You couldn't sit in an armchair.
Yeah.
You have to sit in a chair with no arms.
Yep.
Or also, you can't even get close to, like, the snack table.
Yeah.
If you did, you had to, like, go forward and then back up. You couldn't, like, turn around. It would just, like, knock all the snacks
That's
off.
Why you are having men get you drinks and shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Smart.
You don't approach a snack table.
It's like
it's awkward.
The one plus of being a woman. Yeah. It's like, get me snacks.
Yeah.
I'm in this dress. I can't get out of this chair.
I'm going to knock everything over.
Yeah.
Or
I'm going to light myself on fire because it's going to reach in.
That's right. Now, to follow up on these, on this, it came to be a bigger and badder skirt,
mm-hmm.
which was the crinoline. Crinoline?
Mm-hmm. Crinoline?
Crinoline?
Yeah.
The hoop skirt and the crinoline dress, which were hella popular through the Victorian era. So the crinoline allowed women to shed layers of petticoats. Like, that's what made the big skirt. You had these layers of petticoats and, like, floofy. That was what was making the big thing.
The skirt go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that helped create a big bell shape. But then with this kind of new technology of the crinoline, it was basically like a cage that you put on your body.
Oh, yes, yes.
So it was like metal or it's, bone or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was taped or tied together with strips of fabric all the way mm-hmm. down. So it was like, imagine like consecutive rings getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
So starting at the top with a small ring, going down until it gets super big at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a huge...
It's just like rib. It's like just the ribbing in your wedding dress, kind
right.
of. But in
all
the shape of a bell. Yeah.
And try to imagine. So not only was it like that shape, the bell shape, they also were using like these really flowy interesting fabrics that were extremely flammable.
Oh, no.
So it was a very interesting time because the crinoline, it allowed the women to have, like, this space around them. So they were able to walk more easily than they were with all the petticoats and shit. Oh,
because it's less heavy, because it's less, technically less, like, items.
Right. And it wasn't heavy, and it wasn't a ton of fabric, and they had space underneath the skirts for, like, to move their legs around and be more comfortable. And then the big fucking circumference of this huge bell shape allowed them to take up space in the world. So, like, imagine a man, like, man spreading.
Yeah. And then, and you're like, you want to see spreading?
You want to see some spreading, motherfucker? And they have this big ass skirt. So it's like these men couldn't even get close to them if they wanted to.
I love it. We need these again. Yeah.
Well, except there was a real downside because, and they were really pretty too.
Like, yeah.
Just if you have ever seen, like, Gone with the Wind or, like, any, you know, like, think of, I don't know, Marie Antoinette.
And yeah.
Huge, beautiful, intricate, gorgeous, flowy dress, but, like, also huge and billowing out. And
so, like, princessy,
like Cinderella. And it looks like you're floating. And then you also have the corset with it. Mm-hmm. So your waist is tiny. And it's just, like, the illusion is
grand. It's an illusion of grandeur.
So it truly looks like you're floating in one of those things. So this thing was a death trap, though.
Oh, no.
So basically, it's this cage that you have on your body, and it's covered in super flammable material.
Oh, no.
And there was no light except for candles or gas lamps.
Or firelight. Yeah. Or fires. Yeah.
And so basically, women would just, like, brush past
something
and erupt into balls of flame. This is, like, spontaneous human combustion.
Oh, my God. What a horrible, like, party trick.
Dude, this happened all the time at parties.
Oh, my. Yeah, because, like, that's when you would wear them.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Oh, my God. I would not want to be there.
So, Matthews David wrote that in 1860, in the British medical journal, The Lancet, it was estimated that 3,000 women in 1 year died by fire.
Whoa.
Because of these dresses. And that's, I guess, roughly equivalent to the amount of women that had been murdered in the U.S. in 2014.
Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Oh.
And that's according to that stat is according to the CDC.
Oh, my God.
Let me just give you a few examples of horrible deaths. In 1861, Fanny Longfellow, the wife of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, sat down at a table in her home to play with her children. A match or lit paper ignited her dress. And she died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. In 1865, two women in New York came too close to a hot stove, which lit their dresses on fire. They weren't even named in their death notice. We don't know who they are.
Oh, my God.
That's how they died.
Yeah. I'm sure it was, like, so many. I'm sure that, like, happened so many times.
Yeah. 1867, the Archduchess of Matilde of Austria. Jesus.
The Archduchess
Matilde of Austria held a cigarette behind her back to hide it from her father. The lit cigarette caused her dress to catch fire. Fuck.
Oh, man. She accidentally killed herself.
Oh, it's so rough. And then in 1871, sisters Mary and Emily Wilde, Oscar Wilde's half-sisters, were at a Halloween party. While one of the sisters was dancing, her dress caught fire. The other sister rushed to help her, catching fire herself.
Yeah. Did they die too?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I did not even know that.
I mean, or they were, like, severely burned and, like, miserable for the rest of their short lives, however.
Oh, my God.
And then also some of these dresses got caught on shit like horse reins or wagon wheels, and they would get dragged down the street and killed.
Oh, and of course, like, people are, like, drunk and shit, probably, like, drinking champagne and partying and, like, shit just gets
so, like, bad. You were saying about the snack table, there are probably candles on them, and, like, they brush past.
Fucking done. Up in flames.
And people would.
It's a fondue party now because all the cheese is melted.
It's and so, so fucking gnarly. Like,
oh, my God.
Ballerinas used to have these kind of longer, ballet skirts.
Uh-huh.
And they were made of this crinoline kind of material. And they, so many ballerinas died during this time because that was how they lit the stage.
Oh, with, my like, God.
Gas lights or candles. And there's, like, a really famous ballerina that died during a performance.
On fire.
She didn't die immediately. She died, like, 8 months later from blood poisoning.
Yeah. From the burns.
Burns.
Yeah, infection.
But, like, And this happened all the time during performances.
Oh, my God.
And, like, people, like, the other performers would try to put their fellow performers out who caught fire. Then they would catch fire. And, like, multiple people would die all the time.
Oh, my God.
Theaters would burn down. It was insane. Can you even fucking imagine?
Oh, my God. Luckily, they started making their tutus shorter.
That's, I think, why.
I hope so. If that's not why, then that's so dumb. Like, but of course, it took a billion times for them to finally be like, yeah. I guess we can make these shorter.
You know, these are really pretty. Yeah. Let's just keep them around a little longer.
We don't want them to be immodest.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, we do. Because everyone's dying.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, my God. Well, this brings us to, like, the early 1900s. Corset, 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 through centuries of time, hundreds and hundreds of years. Finally, we see a decline, thank goddess. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It's like, finally, people are like, we're kind of over this.
Yeah.
As the 1920s arrived.
Like, the early bohemian movement mm-hmm. and, like, throughout the 1910s.
Yep, the flappers start to come on the scene. It starts to become, like, more of a minimalist look. And, unfortunately, I feel like with the decline of the corset, we also kind of took a turn towards, like, unattainable standards of beauty, because they were no longer using, like, visual tricks. It was like, your body just has to be this certain way, which was very boyish. Like, that was kind of what emerged in the 1920s. It was like a boyish aesthetic, which was women should have a minimized bust and minimized hips. Like, that's red. Like, women should be thin.
Yeah.
And
like, it's like waif-y.
Yeah. And like, and the fashion started to reflect if you have that body. Like,
it you should imagine a flapper dress.
Yeah. Like, flapper dress. It should hang off you. It shouldn't even look like it fits you. No. It should look like too big for you. And I mean, like, look at Mary from Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Like, she starts to embrace that and she has a very waifish mm-hmm. figure. But it was like minimizing all of the like female curves and stuff. And they didn't have a corset for this, because corsets were meant to
accentuate
your hips and your chest and then bring your waist in. But you would need like a corset that was basically like a sleeping bag or something to make everything look one, you know, like it's one size. Like, yeah. No, you're just like
a rectangle.
Yeah. 24, 24, 24, whatever. Yeah. It's like you're just like tiny all the way down. I think this is kind of what started to make actual undergarments better and more like modern, because under that you either didn't need anything or it had to be super minimal, because everything you're wearing is like silky and like you wouldn't want people to see.
Yes.
So
like a satin dress will show every single fucking lump.
Oh my God.
Every bunch.
Every wedgie. Every pube.
Yeah.
Legit.
Literally, if you have a stray hair stick, it will poke through and it'll catch and you'll see it.
It'll like, it's like, did you snag your dress on something? It's like, oh no, I think I can see a pube under your dress.
That's why I did not even try on a satin dress when I was looking for wedding dresses.
Oh my God. Yeah. You need some coverage.
Yeah. Brocade.
Yeah. And then that existed for a while. And then women were kind of like elements of the corset came back, I feel like, in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. And women were punished yet again with the bullet bra, which is exactly what you think. It's the Madonna bra, essentially, mm-hmm. but like a real version of it, where it's like two cones on your chest that you like mash your titties into, and it's like, well, our boobs aren't that shape, so I guess you'd go way bigger, but then there's like a lot of room in there, and then I feel like your titties just flopping around. Like, I just don't understand how you like find one that fits you. But also, this is like the bra of our grandmothers. Like, my grandmothers never stopped wearing bras like this.
Really?
Like, kind of like they're old lady bras, like yeah. pointy, kind of like, you're just like, that's a weird, you know, like, our generation has, like, more minimalist bras and, like, more – they're smoothed and, like – I don't know. I just feel like grandma bras are very coney.
Yeah. Well, it was, like, meant to make your boobs look really perky.
Yeah.
Like, you have, like, the top slope and then the under – curve.
Right. It like but it's a triangle off your boobs.
But it makes you yeah.
Yeah. It's like fucking two like cones.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. And so they had like ribbing in them. Mm. And it just like they just stuck out and were like very prominent. And then like bras and underwear from that point started to get like more comfortable. We're getting into like what we wear today at this point. On the one hand, like things are getting more comfortable. On the other hand, like as we go through the 60s and 70s, like people are getting rid of bras and like mm-hmm. there's kind of like two things, you know, like society kind of split a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, hippies, they're not even wearing bras. They're like, I don't fuck with that.
Like you're burning your bra?
Yeah.
Like, what?
And then on the other side, it's like, oh, people are like clinging to like the conservative, like old granny bras. Now, today, we're like kind of somewhere in the middle, but we had a stop in the 90s with the Wonder Bra, which was technically invented in the 1930s.
Huh.
Wild, right?
Yeah.
But it took a long time to become popular, and the 90s was the heyday of the Wonder Bra.
Huh.
Like, it was made super famous by, like, Jenny McCarthy and, like, all these people.
But did you know that we had falsies before then? Like, the, like, chicken cutlets?
Oh.
Like, way, way long ago. Like, in the...
Oh, my God.
Even before the Victorian era.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, that's wild.
Well, because, like, that when they were pushing up their boobs and stuff, some people were like, well, I don't have anything to push up.
So they put a little chicken cutlet.
Yeah.
Smart. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Women have been stuffing their bras, right?
Forever. I mean, remember when I took my chicken cutlet out at my wedding and slapped you in the face with it?
No, but that's funny.
It was on the dance floor. It was great. I was wasted.
I was, too. I don't even remember that. Honestly, I can't remember anything after your brother's pants splitting because that is your wedding to me. Like
that's
and true. Then I was like coherent. I wasn't like, but and then I remember the party after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wild. That's funny.
Sorry.
No, nice move. That's very funny. So the Wonder Bra was invented in the 1930s, but then it was like super popular in the 90s. Just like, yeah, Wonder Bras don't only just like fill you out, but they push up really high and like give you a very specific shape. And that shape was what was popular in the 90s. It's like we've moved away from like cone or like natural breasts to like, oh, it looks like you have implants, but that's your bra.
See, the 90s, I think, were the worst of all worlds.
Yeah, because you have to be like, really skinny.
Yeah, you had to be waif-like.
Huge boobs.
And have huge titties.
Yeah. And you couldn't even have an ass. But today, it's like we're moving back towards it's okay if you're busty and you have a butt,
mm-hmm.
but they still want a small waist.
Super small waist.
Yeah, it's wild. Waist trainers and shit, the Kardashians, mm-mm. This shit's wild.
Mm-mm.
And this all is to say the other thing that is popular today, which is maybe the worst thing to ever happen to women, and I only say that because I live in this time, Spanx.
Mm.
It's like... I've worn them several times. To your wedding, I think I wore Spanx.
I bought Spanx for my wedding and didn't wear them.
Good for
you.
Because
I was like, I don't know how because I was practicing peeing and I was like, I can't do this.
It's too many steps.
It's too
much. Yeah, you'll piss yourself.
Yeah.
I wore the ones I had like, basically what they were was just high-waisted underwear.
Yeah.
So they weren't.
That's what I had bought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was fine. My dress was not anything near as complicated. I just lifted it up it's still like hard to pull down.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's all still like, you know, underwear still for women is like, how do you look in your clothes? Like, and you know, how does this shape you?
Yeah, we're obsessed with not having a panty line. We're obsessed with,
mm-hmm. like, I wear panties.
Smoothing.
I wear underwear. I don't like panties.
No, we don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't. I wear chonies.
Yeah, I wear chonies too. I wear chones.
I used to wear thongs, but I can't do it anymore. I don't want anything like rubbing up against my butthole during the day.
I saw my dad in one in high school, and
are you serious? Oh my
God! He did it on purpose, and then tricked me into seeing it, and it was traumatic. Anywho, that's something for me to talk to my therapist about.
Yeah.
This podcast is therapy.
Yeah.
No, I just never, I don't like wedgies. And I just never, like, I never cared that much. I like the high-waisted briefs.
Mm.
I like them because I kind of have a long-ish torso, maybe. I don't know. And then I just like the way they fit. They don't go up my butt. And the waistband sits on my natural waist. And it's great.
I wear like regular old
bikini.
Bikini, Calvin Klein. Briefs. Yeah.
Yeah, I wear those too.
Full butt.
Yeah, full butt.
Yeah.
I don't care. I wear jeans anyway, or sweatpants, like, right now, so.
Yeah, no, I'm fucking married to shit, and I have a kid. I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. I'm not married, but basically.
I mean, you're more married than I am.
True.
You and Pete have been together for, like, 15 years.
Yeah, almost 14. Wow. Close. We're rounding up.
Round it up.
Anywho, I don't know what else we need to talk about. There's so much. I mean, we didn't talk about crotchless underwear except for like old prehistoric crotchless underwear.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about, we didn't talk about the evolution of the thong or why it exists. Honestly, maybe we'll do a follow up. There's just so much to talk about, but we've already been talking for an hour. So it's like, what, you know, like how much more can we fit into this? So that's what we wanted to do today.
Yeah.
Just give you a brief history.
Bitch. Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got.
Same. Go to our website, dtfupodcast.com.
Yeah. Follow us on all the things at dtfupodcast.
Yeah. Everywhere. Leave us a review on iTunes. That would be so great. Five stars. Yeah, we would really appreciate it. You can even just write, I like this. Like, it doesn't have to be anything like Henry Wadsworth Longfellow or whatever.
No.
Oof. Yeah. Wait,
was that whose wife died?
Is his name Henry? Wadsworth. Longfellow. Wadsworth Longfellow.
Yep. You got it.
Huh. I was an English major, so.
You better know that shit, bitch.
No, I don't think I've ever read anything he's written. But I'm sure it's good. I've heard good things.
I'm sure it's delightful.
I've heard good things.
Oh, Longfellow.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, guys. You know what?
That's what I call Pete. What?
Longfellow?
No, I'm just kidding.
You know what? Be excellent to yourselves.
And each other. Bye-bye. Bye.